Okay, let's do a must-win game. Feeling good here today because I got my former co-host, Kechu Prolov, hanging with me on the pod. And wow, we have a lot to react to. So in the spirit of Maggie and Prolov's M&P 500, we're going to do a little stock up, stock down. First of all, how you doing?
I'm great. That music is unbelievable. I can't name an actual instrument that contributed to it. I don't know what any of the instruments were, but it jammed.
Thank you. Yeah, this is something from deep in the archives. But let's get going with a little stock up, stock down. We actually have some news to react to right now, which is LeBron James is going to be leaving Los Angeles. Now, Pearl, we don't know where he's going to go next, but 8 years in L.A., one title, and that's about it as far as accomplishments go. Now, I'm going to go stock down here, not to be negative Nelly, but I got to go stock down on LeBron as an all-time Laker. This is a question you and I talked about quite a bit on our show. Like, where is LeBron's place sort of with Laker legacy? We know Cleveland, Miami, that's not up for debate. LA, though, with the amount of stars that have come through the Lakers organization, I do not put LeBron James as an all-time. Mm-hmm. Again, one title, and let's call it what it was, the bubble title. Whoa. Which I disparage, as you know, more than any other title. There's no bigger asterisk in the world than the one that was on the bubble title. And outside of that, only three playoff series wins. So if you leave the bubble title to the side, he won three other playoff series. You know, they have an in-season tournament championship, which I know you absolutely despise. That does not count in your book. And let's be honest, you know, for as much as maybe you give LeBron credit because he did get Anthony Davis to the Lakers because Clutch Sports kind of orchestrated that move to get Davis out of New Orleans, he also, LeBron that is, directly responsible for the Russell Westbrook trade, which is a terrible trade for LA. Yeah. And the drafting of Bronny.
Come on.
No, you come on. That was such a cut the line move. It was As if it's not good enough or you don't get enough perks in your life just being LeBron James's son. Now you actually have to have your dad hold the organization hostage just to get you drafted. And I just saw something on Twitter, but I wasn't able to verify it. Apparently, Bronny's contract became guaranteed for the next season yesterday.
Wow.
And LeBron tells him I'm out.
Well, Maggie, can I make an interaction for you? Maggie Gray, this is the real world. People get their sons' jobs. It happens. And you know it happens. So, you know, what? Jim Gray? Can we talk about Jim Gray?
I'm not related.
Oh, yeah.
I wish
that
was related.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
It's something
easier.
Yeah. So, okay, I understand what you're saying. I think I'm a little more high on LeBron's impact on LA because not only did he win the title, he made the Lakers relevant again post-Kobe. So I give him more credit. But I also have him on my stock down list. And I'll tell you why. Because I don't think, kind of a piggybacking on what you're saying, I don't think the next stop is going to be successful for some of the same reasons. I think he's going to pick a team with older players, which will do two things. One, it's going to be hard to win. Remember Karl Malone and Gary Payton when they joined Kobe and Shaq? That didn't work in LA.
Well, they did make the finals, though.
But it didn't work. And they didn't.
But they did make the finals.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, but that definitely didn't work. That was the ultimate dream team. They had to win a title. I mean, Kobe, yeah, because Kobe and Shaq could win without them. Okay, I'm not going to litigate that because my issue is the legacy stuff. Even if he does join Steph Curry in Golden State and they somehow get Anthony Davis over, you know what? It's going to give him a little bit of the, when he joined Miami feel. It's like, oh, LeBron has to, and it doesn't matter where he goes. If he joins a potential champion, he's going to dent his legacy for the same reason that Kevin Durant got dented in Golden State and the same reason LeBron became, remember, he was temporarily the villain for joining this dream team in Miami. So it's a twofold thing. They're not going to win because they're going to be too old and also could hurt his legacy. Even if they do win, it'll be a hollow victory.
Okay, here's a question for you, though.
Yeah.
Let's say LeBron joins either Miami or Cleveland. Does he still get the same backlash? Obviously, Miami just traded for Giannis. They're going to be looking for help, maybe on the cheap.
Yes.
And then Cleveland, that's like where it all started. He won them a title. He can do no wrong in Cleveland, Ohio.
Right, right. But James Harden's on the team, right?
Well, he just opted out, but I guess he's going to sign back for $100 million. Why are people continuing to throw nine figures at James Harden? I don't get it, but anyway.
Yeah, no, I mean, they'll never win with him there. And so that's not even a...
But he would consider ring chasing or...
Right, right. Because everyone would know you're not chasing a ring if you join James Harden. You're running away. You're actually being chased by a ring. You're running away from a ring. There's no way he wins with that current team. So... I'm being a little glib, but in Miami, he'll get criticized for joining Giannis, don't you think?
Less so than joining Steph, because at least there is some connective tissue. I mean, he went to four finals with the Heat. He won two of them. You know, he's an all-time Miami Heat player for sure. Yeah. But so I think if he does the retro, the return to either Miami or Cleveland, I don't think he gets the heat about it. Now, also, does it change the math a little bit that this is not Kevin Durant joining the Warriors after the Warriors were a 73-win team and everyone's in their prime? Everyone's past their prime now. Like, do you still say, oh, LeBron, you bus rider, you ring chaser, when he's going to be 42?
Yes, you absolutely do. And not only do you do, everybody's going to say that. Nobody cares. And also, too, he's still pretty good, which is the funny thing. Yeah, I was watching the highlight package on ESPN this morning, and in half court, he's dunking behind his head. So, yeah, because LeBron draws criticism, Maggie. You know people will invent ways to criticize LeBron. So, no, I don't think there's going to be any kind of leniency when it comes to that. People are just going to be critical of him because of who he is, and it's a weird situation. That being said, we didn't really rip him for Luka because Luka wasn't healthy enough to win the title. So, who knows? But... yeah, I just think that it's going to be a tough season. I was really into that Carmelo Lakers team. They totally burned me. I know they made the finals, but they just were not, they were not good. I mean, the reality, Maggie, do you think he still can play at 42? I guess he can, but I don't know.
Well, the question, though, if he actually did join the Warriors, it's going to be like a rotating cast, you know, because nobody is going to play anywhere close to 82 games. Maybe Draymond? I don't know. I mean, you're talking about Anthony Davis, who his nickname is literally street clothes.
Yeah.
LeBron probably will play as much as he can be healthy, but he always takes like a 2-week break, you know, here or there.
On a groin injury, yeah.
Yeah. You know, Steph, we'll see. And then Jimmy Butler's still coming back from an ACL. So I think you're going to get very little proof of concept with these guys all season long. And then they're going to have to like flip this proverbial switch when it gets to the playoffs. And I just don't know if you can do that when you're going up against, let's say, for instance, OKC, the Spurs.
Yeah.
Maybe you make it to the finals. Okay. And now you got to face the Knicks, you know, who basically know what each other's thinking before they even do it.
Let's not overreact to the Knicks. Yeah. It's going to be hard to get out of the West. Let's put it that way. It's going to be really hard. I mean, I think LeBron would want to go to the East, especially with Boston being watered down, possibly being watered down. And the Knicks are out because nobody repeats, Maggie. So I think going to the East, you bring up a good point, is much more preferable. Why would you want to deal with OKC and San Antonio? And, you know, LeBron thinks that way. He's smart about that. So, you know, I've been so focused on Golden State that I didn't really consider Miami. But that's a more elegant solution. And Cleveland is got to be in play because the poetry of that would be amazing.
That's like the perfect way to tie the boat is for him to go back to Cleveland, because it's a fan base that loves you. You know, it's the story everyone can get behind. The problem, and that team needs help, because every time they get into the playoffs and actually face a team that's good, they completely fall apart. So they actually need somebody maybe with like a steadying hand, like LeBron James. They can actually use him and rely on him.
Well, I mean, they're just sort of a funny team, like, because Mitchell is obviously going to be the superstar, but it never ends up working. I don't know why it doesn't work. I mean, Harden's not great. I just have trouble believing LeBron's going to be the one piece to turn them around. Then again, I mean, listen, they were close this year. I thought they were a big...
Were they?
Yeah, but I thought they were
big. The Knicks, like, blew them out.
Well, yeah. But you're right. As far as story goes, going back to Cleveland is great. But he kind of already did it. Remember Lee Jenkins wrote it? We were both at SI. That was a good story. Is it getting old? It's kind of like now we're in the third part of Spider-Man 3. I don't know.
The trilogy. LeBron. The trilogy.
Yeah.
That's it. All right, so we're both kind of doing stock down on LeBron. I don't think his Lakers legacy, you know, holds up, especially not amongst the all-time great Lakers, which is funny because, you know, Shaq also spent 8 years with the Lakers. Now, won 3 titles, 3 finals MVPs, but Shaq is a statue outside.
Yeah. No, I
mean, LeBron's not even close, and they were there for the same amount of time.
Yeah, I mean, Shaq was close, so much closer to his prime. Let's be fair about that. So that if LeBron had been there for his 8 prime years, oh my God, would he have a statue? You know what I mean? He would have, he'd have 3 rings for sure. So I think that's what happened.
Okay, let's move on because we got a lot of other things to get to today. Stock up for FIFA being the good guy. The irony of this is bananas to me. The World Cup has been a massive success. Obviously, it's here on U.S. soil, but just the games themselves, Pearl. Like we saw, you know, on the second day of the knockout round, you had 2 games that went to penalty kicks, like ultimate drama. Multiple, like more than 20 goals have been scored in extra time or after. So, like, you're getting these crazy finishes, super exciting. And FIFA is getting all this love, like the fact that soccer is uniting people and that fans of all these different countries are seem to be, you know, like getting along. You're not seeing stories about rioting or, you know, people getting in fights with each other. It seems to be all love. And the irony of this is that FIFA is one of the most corrupt organizations to ever exist on the planet. And I'm not even trying to get political here. It's just straight up corruption, just bags of cash. Like, that's what it takes. It was only a couple of years ago that Qatar got the World Cup, and like, you had all these people who were building stadiums, these poor migrant workers literally dying on these construction sites. And it's just crazy to me now that FIFA has become like this world uniter, and it's just this like force for good and positivity in the world. I promise you, like, that is new. It is ironic that FIFA would be getting credit. And obviously, much like every sports entity, they're helped because the games are so good.
Yeah, who's giving FIFA credit? Like, we love NFL football. We're not giving Roger Goodell credit.
Some people do.
Name one that you've ever met. Give Roger Goodell credit?
How about Rob Manfred? He gets tons of credit. He changed all these rules in baseball. They love him.
Right, because he did something. What did FIFA do? FIFA added the water break, which the players hate. No, FIFA doesn't get any credit. You kind of said at the end, FIFA gets no credit in my book for how awesome the World Cup is. That's just the World Cup being the World Cup. I am not going to give it. That's like giving Gary Bettman credit because there's a 7-game Stanley Cup final. No way. I will agree with everything about it, the World Cup being amazing. I want to share a little tidbit. I was at a dinner with an old friend who used to be at Fox. And he said, Fox is making money hand over fist with FIFA. With the World Cup. Their ad revenue is through the roof. The water break has been a massive hit for them. He said, the problem is FIFA is going to ask for more money than has ever been invented for the next one, which is in Spain and Morocco and Portugal. The main key is it's the right time zone. He said he knows from experience, when the World Cup leaves the time zone, the ratings go like that. So they're going to charge off of this World Cup for the 2030 World Cup, and it's definitely not going to be as big a TV hit. It's so perfect because it's in our time zone. Can I share a weird stock up? By the way, I'm totally down. The World Cup's been amazing. The round of 32 has been incredible. I can't wait for Seymour. And I know like things are fluid right now as we're taping, but the Portland Trailblazers, we were always popular, you know. I remember we had a lot of Trailblazer fans on the show, but adding Ja Morant to a roster that currently, at the time of speaking, has Drew Holiday, Damian Lillard coming back, Shaedon Sharpe, who is my favorite dunker, Ja Morant, who's the most spectacular dunker in the league, and Scoot Henderson. So that's 5 big-time guards. They can reinvent basketball on the spot. How is this team going to work? I think, and I'm really excited for Ja Morant, who was really bad last year, injured, his numbers are way down. I'm really excited to see him out of the spotlight in some random thing like, what if that guy had a comeback? I know that it was just a salary dump on both sides, but that was interesting to me that the Blazers just have this, you know, sort of, and they didn't want Jaylen Brown, apparently. Like, they backed out of a Jaylen Brown deal. So they just have this hodgepodge of a team. And Denny Avdija is their star. Yeah. It's just a really weird and interesting little thing going on. Are you ready to jump on that bandwagon with me? I know you are. That's even awesome.
Great point. The Portland really came through for the Maggie and Perloff show. They would play our show in the when we got to mornings, they would take us in the morning, which is obviously like overnight for them, and then replay us in the afternoon. I mean, we love you, Portland. That was great. I'm just a little I'm all here for a Ja Morant reboot. Like, I'm all here for a comeback story with Ja. He's so exciting. This is, you're right, a really interesting team. Coach is on a one-year deal, which is a little weird to me. New owner that is supposedly, was the owner of the Carolina Hurricanes, who just won the Stanley Cup, but he has this reputation of not spending a lot of money. So I just hope that if this is going to succeed or fail, it's only because of basketball reasons. And you're saying like, oh, Ja Morant might be like kind of tucked away in like a smaller market in Portland. You can get in plenty of trouble in Portland. Just ask Rasheed Wallace and Bonzi Wells. Like, you can, you know, not to bring back the Jailblazers, who we remember very fondly in our hearts, but like that was a never-ending stream of headlines.
Yeah,
the way that I remember it.
But did they get in trouble in Portland or just around the country?
Well, weed's legal now, so a lot of things they got in trouble for, but are not against the law anymore.
Yeah, I think that whole team would be totally fine now. Jailblade is like, I mean, look at they up in Smoke podcast. Like, there's no stigma around that anymore. That team was awesome. I love Rasheed. I loved Zach Randolph too, personality wise. They definitely turned through now. It's funny, that team, though, as it exists right now, it makes no sense whatsoever. Because Damian's got to play, I would imagine. And how do you put him over Scoot Henderson and Ja Morant? How do you play Damian Lillard and Ja Morant? Like, who's covering a 6'8 two guard? And, you know, maybe Damian will be a good influence on Ja Morant. I mean, there's no better pro than Damian Lillard. So maybe that'll work.
I got to do another stock down. It feels like we're doing all stock downs today. And that's Phil Mickelson's legacy. How about the story from our pal Alan Shipnuck, who we both worked with back in the Sports Illustrated / golf.com days, SIGolf.com, owned by the same people. And Alan, first of all, has just been like, he's so plugged in with Mickelson. He wrote the unofficial autobiography of Mickelson that was a New York Times bestseller. He's the one who got the quote from Mickelson about Live Golf getting out to bed with the Saudis and Mickelson acknowledging that these are not great people and but how they had to do it and all of that. So here comes Alan again, another article, this one about how Phil Mickelson has been acting wildly inappropriate to either women at golf clubs that he belonged to, that he got asked to leave, or, you know, fellow pros' wives that he propositioned. Mickelson is having this, like, you know, Tiger's fall from grace, like with his scandal pearl, was like a crash, right? Where we had Tiger, like, and then with his world kind of fall, it was like big. Phil, though, has kind of been like steadily going downhill.
Yep.
The gambling stuff, the Billy Walters stuff, who you and I interviewed Billy Walters, the famous sports bettor who Phil Mickelson would not help exonerate in a trial, and Billy Walters went to prison for it. There's just so much there with Phil. And I just think it's been a steady drip in the Live Golf stuff, a steady drip, drip, and his legacy is just shattered right now.
Oh, yeah. The one detail that stood out to me, I'm sure, when he would give somebody at the golf course his phone and say, go play a round of golf, so my wife, who's on Find My, thinks I'm out on the golf course. That's next level weirdness. And then the whole thing with Pat Perez's wife, if those allegations are true, that is the creepiest guy you'll ever meet. And it's maybe when you're a big golfer like that, you have more money than you know what to do with. Your ego just gets out of control.
Well, what I was thinking is, so he was asked, according to Alan's article, and it was confirmed, multiple golf clubs asked him not to come back. Can you imagine, Pearl, like how much cachet a golf club, a golf course gets from having Phil Mickelson be one of your members or whatever, a presence there? Your behavior has to be like so bad. They would tolerate almost anything.
Yes.
And the fact that he's been asked to leave multiple clubs, like, I bet this was just the tip of the iceberg. It almost feels like Tiger, you know, like Tiger's stuff was different. It felt like an addiction, like a sex addiction maybe, or something else. And then the painkillers. Yeah. But is Mickelson that far behind? I'm not, I'm not making any accusations, but it turns out these two golfers of a generation who had this sort of frenemy kind of, relationship, I guess, or people who love rooting for Phil because he was kind of the anti-Tiger. He was very open with people. He was like gregarious, where Tiger was really reserved, private.
Yeah.
Both of them end up with their reputations in tatters.
Absolutely. Phil was a lot of fun to follow. You know, he was the people's champion. He's fun to watch. He's a lefty. He was a great golfer. He's definitely, I completely agree, he's headed in the same direction.
On a sad note, and not a stock up, stock down by any stretch, just acknowledging that Chris Johnson came out and did an interview with Good Morning America that he has ALS, and CJ2K, I'm just heartbroken for him. He came into SI two times. We did an interview. The first time, he just like casually brought Lendell White with him. He didn't say anything. He just walked in. It was like, Chris Johnson is here for the interview. He was like, I'm sorry, is that Lendell White? It's like, yes. Well, like, do you also want to come on and do the interview? And they both came on and we talked about running backs and it was great. And then he came another time and just really sad. And, it seems to be, I think we know that the percentage of football players who are diagnosed with ALS does not match the national average. And it is much higher. And it's just really, really heartbreaking.
Yeah, it was very incredibly inspiring. If you saw the interview with Michael Strahan, then I saw Steve Gleason, who I've met, tweeted and saying, listen, everybody's on a journey and it's incredible to see Chris is going to try and be of service. That's really inspiring. I mean, it's terrible. It's beyond terrible. Not that there's a transition. This is like, could I do one more stock down? Yeah. Do you remember the Pistons-Knicks series? How upset I was. And Malik Beasley blowing the opportunity for the last second shot. It went right. He was open for a three and it went right through his hands. Turns out I'm like, I don't know if it was me or everybody was saying, oh, this guy's throwing games. Turns out rested, throwing games.
Yep.
The NBA, and by the way, I don't even know what to do with that particular NBA scandal. Like, feels like it's just like mushroom. Like, it's almost like it's gotten so big that we don't even pay attention to it anymore.
Well, there was some internet stuff about Malik Beasley, right? That he was.
Yeah, like this isn't new, but he was officially brought down yesterday.
Yeah. Listen, it already took down a Hall of Famer and a current coach, Johnson Billups. I mean, it's circling around the Lakers because of Damon Jones, who also got run out.
Yes,
was working as assistant coach at the time, giving health information about LeBron James and whether or not he was playing that night and stuff like that. So it's already hovering around the sport's literal biggest stars. Who knows? I mean, the gambling stuff is everywhere. I don't think you and I ever talked about Brendan Sorsby and what happened with that whole thing about Texas Tech and him deciding to leave. And then the NFL saying, we're not going to hold the supplemental draft because teams haven't done enough time to do their homework on him. So it's not going anywhere.
No. And it definitely, I think NBA is of the four professional has the biggest problem right now. Because NBA, you can influence a total really easily. That's part of the problem. Yeah. I mean, who knows? It's probably been happening. It's probably happened countless times that we don't even know about. What are you doing, as always I have you, what are you doing to celebrate the 250th anniversary?
Oh, our country?
Yeah. Not your marriage, our country.
They say my birthday?
Yeah.
Do I look 250? Hanging.
I only asked that so I could talk about how I'm going to Philly, the birthplace of this country. But we're going to enjoy, there's all sorts of stuff going on for 250. Because there are...
We will
go down there, but like... There's just, I don't know. I just heard there's a lot of 250th stuff. I might play.
We, as who?
Costume period piece, like a civil, like as a revolutionary. Paul Revere. I might dress up as Paul Revere. I haven't decided yet.
I was going to say, your favorite Declaration of Independence signer?
Yeah. There's a room, by the way, at the Constitution Center in Philadelphia where it's a real life. And have you been to that? The room where they signed the Constitution, and it's a real actual size of all those dudes. They're 5'4" is tall for them. They're all 5 feet tall. Every single one of the founding fathers.
I know. Well, of course.
Except Washington. Washington was big.
There's like no hormones in the food. This is like if when you look at Babe Ruth, like Babe Ruth is the size of like an average person. Like Aaron Judge and Babe Ruth would not even be in the same like stratosphere. Like just we're evolving as humans. We're getting bigger.
Yeah. Well, imagine if Aaron Judge played in 1928. Yeah. 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 I mean, athletes are, or imagine Shohei came down. It was like throwing 100 miles an hour.
Okay, cool. Thank you for this. What else do you say about one of the greatest to ever do it and still doing it, by the way? 34 years, though, at ESPN, over 5,500 sports centers. I hope I'm getting that number right. All the awards you could possibly put on your shelf. The Hall of Fames have been minted. Linda Cohn, I am just so like over the moon for you because I love to see how much love you got when you said goodbye to just one other chapter of your life, but a big chapter at ESPN. I hope you were feeling the love, and thank you for joining me.
Maggie, thanks for that intro. I'm telling you, I am still feeling the love. I love the love. It was a perfect send-off by ESPN. But most important, it's people like you that I helped inspire. Although you have all the talent, it's all about you. You did it all on your own. You continue to create. I'm a big fan of yours, Maggie. You've always been supportive of me. And it's just my pleasure to be on your show right now.
Wow. I mean, that just means so much. I think I told you during the pandemic, you were a mystery guest on the Moose and Aggie show. Okay.
Yes.
And it was something our producer cooked up at the time. And, you know, it really did help pass the days. I'm not going to lie, because there was nothing else, no sports going on. And we were all like, what are we going to talk about? And you came on and I was like, so like it caught me because, you know, and I think I told you at the time I pre-ordered your book. You know, I went through it with a fine tooth comb because, Linda, I felt like if I read it, you would somehow give me the roadmap to get to where you got. And instead, what I found was somebody who was just giving you truth. And that the secret is there is no secret. The secret is you work hard, you be yourself, you realize that you're going to have good days and bad days. And like that was the greatest gift that you could have put in that book. The secret is there's no secret. You just got to do the work.
Yeah, thanks, Maggie. Yeah, you know, yeah, Conehead, no holds barred account, breaking into the boys club. You know, I wish I had a really big time publisher because maybe more people would have read it. But I was grateful that I did write that and send it out and it resonated with people like you. Yeah, I mean, this is the thing. I mean, you know, that I wrote that book back in 2009. And look how much has changed in the business, especially on the upswing for women. It's just so fantastic. But, you know, at that time in the road that I went and the journey that I went, I didn't get any handouts. I wasn't looking for anything on a silver platter because I'd be waiting there forever for the rest of my life and not moving. And so you had to make your own breaks. And that was the one of the messages that I said. But I also wanted to be very transparent about my life and how I did the balancing act and how I did become a mom. And that was the thing that I was most proud of. And also I did get divorced around the time that book came out. And all of it was really opened my heart and opened my life to people that, you know, there's no phoniness here. What you see is what you get. And to be successful, I always feel that you have to be true to yourself and not worry about what people think. And trust me, it didn't happen overnight where I didn't worry about what people thought. As I display in that book and share some stories. But even now, even since that book, there's still people from the Stone Age out there. And they just don't get it. You know, even like some of the tributes I got, you know, if you actually, for instance, Maggie, and I know, you know, my daughter, who now is 35, but I think she told me this when she was 20. She said, you know, when social media came out, she says, treat your mentions the same. Treat the good ones like the bad ones and the bad ones like the good ones. You know what they have in common? They don't mean a thing. Those are people that don't know you. And so that helped me, you know, kind of grow some layers of skin. So my skin was thicker and kind of blocked out the noise while mostly everyone, and I know I'm going off on this tangent, but it comes from that book and how I was feeling at that time. you just have to stay true to yourself, be yourself, and, you know, it'll work out. And honestly, I have, you know, more people that love what I did and respect what I did and, you know, say I was part of their sports broadcasting landscape and I was a soundtrack of their sports life growing up and just so many amazing things they have said. But you're always going to find a few trolls. And I like making fun of them. And, you know, when I have my when I have my new show on YouTube, which you're going to promote at Linda Cove Sports, and it's going to be all, you know, bells and whistles in a few weeks. But I mean, I might have fun with that because I want the fan interaction and I might, you know, kind of rip the heads off those trolls.
I'm here for it. I cannot wait for this project because, you know, Linda, from the outside, it seemed like you were always letting your personality shine, or you learned to let, you know, to kind of let go and let your personality shine. I know that's not like that didn't come easy to you. I know you've said that you kind of had to work on that, right? Of sort of letting, not just being robotic and being worried about making a mistake, but just sort of being yourself. Like, do we have another gear here? Because I think that, you know, like you are one of the great ESPN and sports broadcasting personalities, and I'd love to see what else you have next.
Yeah, and it's interesting, you know, those first few years at ESPN, and again, I worked in radio and local Long Island TV, and of course Seattle commercial TV for CBS affiliate in Seattle KIRO before I even got to ESPN 34 years ago, and that helped build a base for me. But, you know, when I started at ESPN, it was a national broadcast. And, you know, and here's Linda here with a New York accent and proud of her roots, proud of her teams that she's obsessed with and still am. And I can't believe I'm talking in third person. I don't mean to be Maggie, but I'm just trying to tell the story about the first few years. I didn't want to upset any apple cart. I didn't want to topple the boat. I didn't. And that's why sort of like I also dress conservatively, even though back then in those early 90s, you know, it's not like women, there was no social media, there was no look at me type of mentality, even though I never have that ever, even though the world we live in now, I was never that person. But these are the kind of things, and I did that also on the set, meaning I kind of hid my real personality. I just kept it chill and not robotic, but just exactly what you said, Maggie, don't screw up. Don't screw up because I'll hear about it because I am a woman in a man's world. And by the way, I'm not like ripping men at all because I always said this and I have frowned upon women throughout the years, throughout the decades, who always like, you know, took men to task. I mean, some certain men are pigs. We know who they are. Yeah. But took the majority, just stereotype with one brush, all men because they didn't like a woman doing sports. You know what? You didn't work hard enough. I mean, you have to try and you shouldn't care what they think. But I always, you chose to be in this business, not you, Maggie. But you know what I'm saying? The women that complain from back in the day and they know who they are and they would, you know, expose these guys and whatever. And they were just saying what they thought and they have a right to their opinion. But, you know, the thing is like you chose to be in this vocation. You chose to have this as your job. You got to take the good with the not so great and don't let it bug you. So anyway, you know, getting back to what we were talking about, which I probably have forgotten, Maggie.
Now, about your new channel and what, you know, yes. Like, so I'm curious to hear you. Yes. Are we getting hot takes? Are we getting, yes. What are we getting?
Here's the deal. You know, anyone who knows me or around me every day and some of my close colleagues at ESPN, they know the real Linda. You know, I always have something to say. I always have something to say. And they always look at me like, oh, my gosh, that should be a show. Linda Unleashed right there. You know, and by the way, I'm thinking that is the name of one of my segments, Linda Unleashed, because even when I was at ESPN Friday and I'm in between farewell shows, the 6 p.m. Eastern or the 10 p.m. Eastern, and all in the ESPN cafeteria, the little production crew of the next show, I'm speaking my mind about certain sports topics at that time, because what were they going to do? Fire me? Of course, it wasn't on the air, but that's when my production crew said, oh my goodness, you know, this is the real Linda. So that's what you're going to see. I'm not going to get myself in trouble and I'm going to be objective, but yeah, there'll be some hot takes, Maggie.
Just burn it to the ground, Linda. Just do it. I want to get into some specifics here because there are some stories that I don't even think that I know that I'd love to know. For the love of elevation, how much pressure was there to come up with a catchphrase at that time? Because you guys all had them and yours was just like perfect.
Yeah, you know, there was pressure to have a catchphrase. I put the pressure on myself. There was no boss that came up to me at ESPN and said, Linda, you know, all Dan, Keith, Rich, you know, you name it. They had some catchphrase. How come you don't have one? I always felt that it's better to be, no offense to anyone who had catchphrases. And of course, the great Stuart, late great Stuart Scott, the ultimate catchphrase of booyah. I just felt I didn't want to go along with the crowd. I wanted to stand out by being myself. And by doing so, and what I mean by that is being organic, just reactive to what the highlight is and what I see. And that's how I always was. You know, my knowledge, my sarcasm, my passion, the ability to have fun while doing a highlight and not get behind, that's what I wanted to bring out. And that was part of the connection to the fan. The other thing is, but I felt like maybe I should think of something. And there's a whole story in my book about Master Batter, which I got in trouble for and it only lasted one day. But I transitioned to like for the love validation because it was so great for, you know, tip-ins and, you know, and as a matter of fact, when I did a highlight, it was so great. Johan Castillo, a former colleague of mine at ESPN, big middle management guy. He had me read a Knick highlight, even though it was 2 weeks after they won it all. So I was able to use For the Love of Elevation with OG Anunoby with the tip, completing the 29-point comeback. And I was like, oh my gosh, thank you, Johan. You get me. You understand. And that was really cool that I had to do that. So yeah, For the Love of Elevation, it kind of took off. And also it was great for, you know, guys making catches at the wall. You know, in baseball, you know, when baseball was bigger than it is now, Maggie, sadly, it's fading unless, you know, you're in the New York or Boston area, or it's become so regional. It's really kind of sad about the MLB. It's become like hockey, but I think you can make a case is passing MLB in some parts of this country. So long story short, yes and yes. And I'm still happy I didn't get married to a catchphrase. And it was still about just being genuine and sharing my passion for being a sports fan.
After all those, let's just take it with the sports centers, because I know you've done much more than just sports center at ESPN. But for the sports centers, do any individual ones stick out, or are they all just a blur?
Yeah, there are some individual ones that stick out. Most of them. And another thing I do want to say, they all meant something to me for the most part. Even when it was just generic, you know, I want to say, oh, let's pick a dead month in sports. Usually it's July, you know, but, you know, training camps do open in July in the NFL. But you know what I'm talking about. It wasn't May. It wasn't April. It wasn't June with the finals of both big sports. It wasn't, you know, all of it. It was, you know, whatever. But my point is, I always, for instance, may believe someone was watching me for the very first time. I never got bored hosting SportsCenter. I always felt I had to prove I belonged. And thus, even if there was nothing going on and you're doing Savannah Bananas highlights, or you're doing, you know, dog frisbee catching, or you do whatever you're doing, I tried to put my all into it. But there were some SportsCenters, you know, sadly, when there were famous people dying unexpectedly and you're on the set. I remember I was on the set on a Sunday, and I forgot who my co-anchor was. I should remember. And on that person is going to be like, how come you can't remember? You spent 4 hours with me on the set side by side. Like when Muhammad Ali passed away, you know, when someone iconic, legendary in sports, and you're just doing interviews over the phone, you know, you're just, you know, their producers just, okay, we got this person on now. We got this person on, you know, different things like that. I remember doing a sports center late at night in LA, and I know that's an oxymoron for people on the East Coast. Late at night, Linda, you're 3 hours behind, you know, type thing. But we were there till 2 a.m. I was with Stan Verrett, and like two major things happened at once. It was a big NBA trade, like Kawhi Leonard at that time went to the Clippers. There was, it was during the summer, and it was the NBA, not training camps, but what they do in Vegas. And Zion Williamson, who was a rookie at the time, hurt his ankle, got hurt during one of these games in Vegas, you know, type of thing. Anyway, all these things are happening once. I remember those. So, and then one more that's very important to me. I remember a Sunday morning show I did with Jack Edwards many, many, many years ago. It was the first Sunday after we lost the great Tom Meese. Tom Meese was a legendary SportsCenter anchor, and he was a big Philadelphia Flyers fan. I did a lot of 2 a.m. SportsCenters with him. That's 2 a.m. Eastern when I first started, half-hour shows. I loved him so much because despite the fact that he was a Philadelphia Flyer fan, I was New York Rangers, and we'd go at it all the time. But he was so animated when he did highlights. He didn't care about the on-camera lead-ins. He didn't care about showing off his writing, although he could write. But he just wanted to get to the highlight and not even be seen and just hear his voice and explain it and have that kind of way. And I really modeled my game, the game of reading highlights, after Tom Meese. And so that show I did with Jack Edwards that Sunday after Tom Meese's passing was unreal because I really felt him close to me. And when I was reading highlights, I really felt he was reading them for me. Everything I was doing was very Tom Meese-like. I'll never, ever forget that. And later on, one of his daughters reached out to me. And Gabrielle. And it just was very moving. And I shared with her what he meant to me, especially those first couple of years at ESPN doing SportsCenter with him.
Wow, what a gift that is to give to somebody's kid that you have that, and that he gave you a gift too, which was, you know, just sharing that with you. That is amazing. You know, Lynette, I can't help but notice you mentioned this a couple times. You kept having to feel like you belonged. When did you finally feel like you belonged at ESPN?
Yeah, I just I think you're always fighting. You're always fighting, not in a negative way, but you're fighting that climbing that mountain. I felt that I knew the truth. I knew I always belonged. I knew I was more than just belonging. I knew I was just there for other reasons other than, oh, let's just keep a woman on SportsCenter because ESPN was hiring more and more women. No, I knew how good I am. I knew how good I still am. It wasn't being conceited. It was just, it took years and years and years to realize that, but I still felt I should have got more opportunities. I'm not going to lie, Maggie. I didn't get the opportunities I wanted. I wasn't the type of person that banged on the doors of management and bosses. That just wasn't me. Some of my colleagues were. Kudos to them. It worked out for them. That just wasn't me. I was like, if I was going to get an opportunity to do something I really wanted, like, you know, cover more than one Super Bowl in my 34 years, cover more than, you know, two Stanley Cup finals in my 34 years, do more hockey, you know, do more major events. But no, they liked me on SportsCenter mainly because I was good at doing SportsCenter. I was a regular, I was a staple. And in their minds, I'm guessing they didn't want to upset their apple cart. They would be creating for themselves another problem. Well, okay, who's going to sit in Linda's chair during this amount of time? I wanted to cover tennis. That's all I do. That was my first sport. I played tennis since I was 12. All I'm doing since living in LA is playing tennis. I mean, you know, it's a sport I know. But again, I don't look back in bitterness. I believe it all worked out the way it was supposed to. If I was busy running around covering a million different sporting events, maybe I wouldn't have had 5,600 plus sports centers. I'll tell you that. So that's how you have to look at things. And, you know, the universe made it work the way it was supposed to. And I'm grateful for that.
I was actually going to ask you, I didn't mean to shortchange you on the sports centers, 50 over 5,600. I said 55. I apologize for that. Everyone counts. You earned those. I was going to ask you, how many hockey games do you think you're going to go to now, you know, that you might be able to make your own schedule now and just have a little bit of your own time? But now I'm curious, how many major tennis majors are you going to go to? Like, what's on the sports bucket list now for you that you can have a little freedom?
Yeah, one thing that I always did during my run at ESPN, and by the way, I buy my own tickets. I want to make that clear. There's like this, like, there's assumption out there. I mean, there are some. I mean, we all can't make $60 million a year like Pat McAfee. But, you know, there, and he probably still doesn't have to pay for his tickets. This is part of me being a fan. I have gone to major events. I have gone on, you know, SeatGeek and StubHub. And sorry, you shouldn't really support the resale of tickets, but sometimes you have to. I've done that. I've gone to Stanley Cup finals. I was last year. Not this past year, but the year before. I wanted to go to Florida, see the Panthers play the Oilers. It was like game five or, I think it was game five. And I went there by myself. Usually my wing person is my brother who loves to just pay and let's just go, you know, type of thing. But the Panthers Oilers, when I went to, Taylor Swift, my girl was there. She was across the way in a suite with Travis. I was like fangirling as I kind of took someone's, borrowed a girl's binoculars that was sitting next to me and forget the hockey game. I was like trying to spot her in the suite across the way because I was on the opposite side, you know, of the arena where the Panthers were hosting the Oilers. And then during the in-between periods, I walked all the way over there to see if I could get a peek. But of course, you know, she would step back. I couldn't see her. But those are just the funny things. You know, oh, I was this close. It's going to happen. It's going to happen somewhere. I don't know where. But those are the kind of things. And then also, I love music, Maggie. I love concerts. I love live concerts. I love all genres. So I've been doing this all the time. These are the things. It's about, I always tell people, and I tell my kids Sammy and Dan. Sammy's 35, Dan's 30. And they know this. It's about making memories. It's about making those moments. It's not about putting your money in material things. And I put my money, and I enjoy doing it, in things that will last a lifetime. And I do that with NFL games as well. I mean, when the Giants come out here to face the Rams on a Monday night, you know, I'm going to go. And I'm already looking prices for tickets. Maybe one of those teams will help me out. But if they don't, that's fine, because I want to see my beloved Big Blue play the Rams, who most people think are going to win the Super Bowl.
I love it. And it's such a great philosophy to have, and one that I'm not surprised would come from such a sports fan like you. You know, like, of course, life is about memories. What most people, it's about sports memories. And a cool thing that, you know, I hope that now you maybe get a chance to even think about a little bit, because I know when you're in it, you're not like thinking about it. You made these memories even more special for people. I mean, the fact that someone asked you to do the OG highlight with a For Love of Elevation, like, just, you know, to put an exclamation point on it and to be there with them in those moments. Only a couple more for you. Thank you so much for doing this. This is
my pleasure.
Incredible. Who was the person who's reached out to you since that you were not expecting? Like, you know, I saw the Dame Lillard retweeted your This Is SportsCenter commercial with the Dame time and how cool that was. Anyone special in your life reach out to you that maybe you weren't expecting to hear from?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question. Lil Wayne is a big fan of mine. I thought he would reach out, but I didn't know he would post his own video wearing a Carolina Hurricanes jersey. He even know I hosted in the crates. You know, I had some jackass on Instagram, right? How much did ESPN have to pay for that? You know, I came this close to saying, you're a moron. Like, I've met Lil Wayne multiple times. I've known him for, like, I don't know, must have been 15, almost 20 years already. So that was kind of cool. And Charles Barkley actually picked up the phone, left me this long voicemail. But I was on a plane at the time, and he was just saying all amazing things and just telling me that, like, women that have come after me, you know, owe me a lot, but, you know, all those kind of things. And, you know, that you're, you know, he told me all these great things. So there was a bunch of that, but I appreciate just everyone, even people I've never met, reaching out to me and sharing how they felt about my run at ESPN, and glad that, you know, I was a part of their lives growing up.
You really were. Okay, I can't let you out of here without asking about the Rangers. I mean, it's a really weird time here, Linda. It's not good when earlier this year, you know, the GM has to send out a letter to the fan base. And that's not the first time the Rangers have had to do something like that. They love sending letters to the fan base to tell them they're about to wildly disappoint them. This one was, you know, about trading Panarin. But so, like, who's under the most pressure here? How much pressure is under Chris Drury? Like, what's your take on the Rangers right now? When are they going to get back to being in contention?
Well, it better be this coming year. I mean, after the Knicks winning it all, there's a lot of pressure there, even though James Dolan obviously cares more about the Knicks, as he should right now, and he's always had. You know, but Chris Drury is his hire. You know, James Dolan has to prove everybody. Drury, for people who don't follow the Rangers, and I don't blame you because they've been irrelevant, is the general manager. And he's been in the hot seat for years for all of us Rangers fans. We just don't understand some of the moves. And yes, that rebuild letter. Well, obviously, they're not rebuilding anymore because they went out and traded a few picks for Pavel Dorofeev from the Vegas Golden Knights, who was great in the postseason for Vegas. He was just okay in the final, but he was one of the big reasons why Vegas went all the way to the Stanley Cup final this past season. My problem with that is, yes, they gave him a big raise and a long contract, 8 years, $11 million plus. So it was a big raise from what he was making with Vegas, probably a big reason why he agreed to this trade to New York. But there's no Jack Eichel. There's no Mitch Marner on the Rangers to pass him the puck. I mean, there's just not enough talent around this guy. It's always dicey when you bring in a high scorer from a successful team who has better players around him, and you have to wonder, what can he produce with the players currently making up the New York Rangers roster? So I like him that a move was made. I'm always hopeful. But I think the Rangers have to do a heck of a lot more considering all the teams making moves in the East, and the Florida Panthers look like they're like gunning again. They're the most like sexy team right now again because they got Brady Tkachuk to pair with his brother Matthew. They just made a deal to get another goalie, Jacob Markstrom. So that seems like Sergei Bobrovsky is on his way out. So teams are making major moves. So we'll see. We'll see about the Rangers, but You know, Maggie, it is what it is. Listen, I'm also a Met fan, so that's even a worse situation. I'm glad you didn't ask me about that. I would still love them, but it's just a disaster. It's horrific. I don't have to sell you.
I do remember, though, one memorable day when I was on WFAN was when John Davidson, when JD got fired. Ugh. And people were, I mean, you know, he's a legend. People were mad, big mad. And, you know, it's obviously been a mixed bag since then. Yeah, the best for doing this. Congrats to your Knicks, too, by the way. Like, it's not all bad, but I have to ask you a Rangers question.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah. But yeah, I just love Jalen Brunson. What a role model. He, you know, I know he's not from New York, but he is king of New York. He's royalty. I just love the way he plays. I love that he shut people up. I'm all about that when I look back on my career. Not that I'm comparing myself to Jalen Brunson, but in the way I am. Because there's so many doubters, so many people that didn't believe in you, so many people that said it out loud or through social media, and they know who they are, Maggie. And, you know, and that's why I love Jalen Brunson. And he has that little MJ in him. He has that Michael Jordan in him, not only on the court, but off the court, because we all remember Michael Jordan's Hall of Fame speech where he ripped the people that didn't believe in him. And actually, I love that. So... Caleb, you said you're the greatest, man. Number 11, just like Mark Messier. Number 11 at ended long droughts in the Big Apple.
Listen, you are already in Hall of Fames. You will be in more Hall of Fames. Like, you will have the opportunity to go scorch earth. It's going to be there for you. Or the YouTube channel, the new YouTube channel. If you had airing the grievances.
Yes, that's true. That is true. And, yeah, so... Totally, you know, like and subscribe. You know, the younger generation, Maggie, like you, you're young. Like and subscribe. You know all about it. That's what it is. You don't have to pay for anything. At Linda Cohn Sports on YouTube, and then big doings in a few weeks as we get into July. I do have this little mini getaway going to Wyoming, so I don't want to start it before that. You know, so it'll probably be third week in July. But stay tuned, and it's at Linda Cohn on Instagram, and you'll know all about it. But like and subscribe at Linda Cohn Sports on YouTube, and I definitely appreciate it, and you won't be sorry. I'll make you proud.
I'm going to like and subscribe right now, although have fun in Wyoming. Jackson Hole, I mean, there is nothing like that. Gorgeous. Fantastic. Yes. Thank you, and congratulations again, but congratulations on one chapter and now the beginning of something else completely new and different and fun. I love it.
Yeah, freedom for fun, Maggie, just like you. You have the freedom to have fun. That's what it's all about.